T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Consummate, ultimate pro. He loves the game. He lives it. You spend the first few years trying to establish yourself, and then you hit that line where you understand it's less about individual accolades and more about your legacy and winning. And he hit that mark a while ago. Still our greatest hockey player, our greatest asset, yeah. Our best ambassador.
Look at the record. The record's 6-0 versus the Oilers when he plays, and he's got like 3 or 4 points. Sid could care less about the points. It's all about W's. That's the difference. And now you see it on Connor's face. Connor does everything he can do for this team to win, and now it's wearing off. He's such a leader, it's unbelievable. Don't ever criticize Connor McDavid in comparison to this guy. Connor McDavid is doing everything he possibly can.
All right, that was some of the reaction from up in Canada today to last night's Penguins win over the Oilers. NHL Network with the audio from Nick Kiprios, the former Ranger who now likes to stir the pot, and Doug McLean, who coached the Panthers to a playoff series win over the Penguins a long time ago. They're the big shots on Sportsnet in Canada. 93.7, the fan time is 5:06. It's brought to you by our friends at WeatherSeal Home Services. So what last night's game did was it continued to cement Sidney Crosby in many fans' minds and many analysts' minds as the best hockey player in the world. Joe Starkey did a whole column on it today in the Post-Gazette. His claim is if you value 200 feet of ice, you have to say that Crosby is better than McDavid. And if you watched last night's game, you can make that case.
No, you can't. Well, you can, but you can also counter it by saying McDavid only gets a penalty shot because of a Crosby gaffe.
Bluger only scores because McDavid's out to lunch.
I know, his controller was off. But the difference there is that Matt Murray made a great save on a penalty shot against the best player on the planet. More on that in a second. And Sidney Crosby, or in Connor McDavid's mistake, got paid off with a goal. You know what I heard in that clip, though, that got me thinking? And it was something that didn't. I wish it had occurred to me yesterday. I wish it had occurred to me pre-show. But frankly, the flash of inspiration's good, too. It makes very good sense. It fits with hockey's team first, we kind of tamp down the stars ethos, that Sidney Crosby would be still considered the best in the world because of past accomplishments, because McDavid's on a crap team, because he doesn't care about points, because that's what hockey is all about. It's all about like this everyman type of thing. You don't see that in baseball. Everyone knows Mike Trout is the best player in the sport, even though his team stinks. You don't really see that in basketball. No one really argues that LeBron is still the best or that James Harden is second best.
Yes, you do. You see it in basketball because
no.
The Jordan people say 6 rings.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, okay.
Sorry, LeBron.
I'm talking contemporary players, but yeah, the basketball thing is exactly that. They go Jordan, 6 rings. I'm surprised no one invokes the Dream Team to tell you that Michael Jordan's better than LeBron. But my point is, hockey is so to the extreme to tamp down the individual and lift up the team, that the guy that is a big winner for Canada, Sidney Crosby, is going to take this title unless Connor McDavid starts winning a bunch of titles. And then it'll be weird because if Connor McDavid does that, even if he doesn't score a ton of points, that will suddenly elevate him. Matt, I mean, I don't know if you have the clip, but I was reading I think it's Matt Wenzel's story, and he quoted Matt Murray after the game talking about the penalty shot.
The Oilers are away.
Here we go.
No, that's not it. That's the actual.
He quoted Murray, though.
Itself.
He quoted him.
I'll get it here. You want it?
Yeah, I want you to play it because this says it all to me. Once you find this, this is Matt.
I think you got to be careful because you never want to get too locked in on one move. You can pre-scout all you want, but he's not necessarily going to do what he does in the pre-scout. You know, he's got 100 different moves in his arsenal. He's the best player in the world, so. Sure, you watch some things, but you never want to get too locked in. You want to stay fluid, and like I said, just try to stay aggressive and stay patient.
Listen to how casual and matter-of-fact that sounds. When I read Matt Wenzel's Gamer off of this, or mainly the penalty shot stuff, It struck me at just how much of an afterthought that was for Murray to say.
To casually say McDavid's the best player in the world.
He said it the way you or I would just say something that is treated as, by the team, by everybody in the sport.
Absolute fact.
As obvious. Yeah. If a pitcher talks about Mike Trout, they talk about him. Even with Mookie Betts being awesome this past year, they say, yeah, Mike Trout's the best hitter on the planet. What are you going to do? And you don't even take, you don't even blink an eye at it. And that's how Murray said Connor McDavid's the best player in the world.
Last night's game reminded me of a game I watched about a month ago. Last night reminded me of the AFC Championship game. Because you've got Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes. You've got the quarterback with the best resume versus the quarterback who's having the best year. You've got the old guy with the championships and all the winning, considered the greatest of all time, versus the quarterback that has every single tool and skill in his arsenal. And so when the Patriots go into Kansas City and win, is the conversation coming out of that game, Tom Brady is better than Patrick Mahomes. He's the greatest quarterback in the league right now. Did anybody say that? I know I didn't. I didn't watch the AFC Championship game and think to myself, you know what this proves? Brady is still, in 2019, the best quarterback in the NFL.
The narrative was Tom Brady gets him again. You know what I mean? It was like Tom Brady, whatever doubters he did have, Tom Brady managed to turn back the clock one more time and beat back yet another challenge from the next big thing.
And so this is what I will say about the Sid versus McDavid debate. Last night did not prove that Sid is a better player than Connor McDavid. It did not prove to me that Sid is still the absolute best player in the league. What it did tell me, though, is that Sid is willing more than McDavid to sacrifice. And that's the same thing I would say about Brady during these playoffs, is that if he has to go into Kansas City and hand the ball off for the first 7 minutes of the game because it makes the most sense for the game plan, Brady will do that. If Sid's primary responsibility, and I know later in the game they swapped the fourth line out against McDavid to try to free up Sid to get him to play a little bit more offense, but if Sid's responsibility for the lion's share of the game is to match lines with McDavid and just neutralize him, he'll do it. And so,
was Crosby on the ice? I wasn't even paying attention because it was such a pretty play. When Draisaitl scored for McDavid on that just very quick Oscar Klefbom-led turnaround, was Crosby's group on the ice?
No,
I'm looking it up right now.
I don't think so.
Because
Crosby was a plus one last night, and McDavid was a minus two.
I guess my thing is maybe, but in hockey, like, I could maybe see where you're coming from, but hockey is so much different from football in that respect. We're like, Sidney Crosby, everyone says 200 feet of ice, but McDavid creating a goal very quickly is what he is like paid to do. Edmonton has nobody else. He and Draisaitl account for what? Like almost 50% of their goals as a team? The Penguins might need Sidney Crosby to play 200 feet of hockey because they're built a certain way. Edmonton needs Connor McDavid to do very literally everything. While everybody else knows that he needs to do everything,
well,
and he still does most everything on the ice.
That's why I don't hold the playoff thing or the team struggles against McDavid, because people in Pittsburgh didn't say for Mario Lemieux's first 6 years that Mario wasn't great or wasn't the best because his team failed to make the playoffs his first half dozen years. At some point, the rest of the team has to be held accountable, and in Edmonton, they're a complete dumpster fire. But for one night or for a seven-game series, when the two teams are matched up against each other, savvy can beat splendid or can beat skill.
In a game seven, would you rather have as your top center, like right now, all other things being equal, McDavid or Crosby?
Sid.
I agree with that, even though if you put McDavid in place of Sid on this team in a game seven, I would be like, oh, God, McDavid's going to go nuts with this kind of talent around
Sid's
him.
At the Wiley vet portion of his career.
So it's the like same dynamic outside, as Matt Murray and Carey Price. You'd rather have Murray for a game seven, even though Price, you would say, is the better goalie.
Probably. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of when I first thought I was good at sports, which didn't last very long. But for that brief period, you go out in the driveway and you challenge your dad to a game of one-on-one. And he's got old man moves and he backs you down because he's stronger than you. And he's not better than you, but he just knows how to beat you.
He knows there's something he can do that you can't stop.
And I saw some of that in Sid McDavid last night.
Well, Sid behind the net just worked over McDavid, and it looked like McDavid had him finally dead to rights when he was trying to kill clock, basically, and go down into his office. And then he spun off one more time, and it was, you could just tell the old man got him again, relatively speaking. For the actual debate itself, though, I still go back to this with Murray's not a dumb guy. He's pretty smart, actually, and he's very judicious, I think, about what he says and when he says it. For him to clearly feel like saying, yeah, he's the best player in the world, about the other guy was not even something that would so much as cause a ripple in that locker room if it were printed in a story, and he had to know it would get printed, then that tells me all I need to know. I bet you if you asked Sid, he'd say, yeah, man. Like, at this point, that guy can do a lot of different things that I just can't physically do anymore.
When they played in Edmonton, he said McDavid was the best player in
the world. Sid knows. Because I think for fans,
him up, man.
I know. Of course it does, because Brady will say Mahomes, I can't throw like he can. I can't do what Aaron Rodgers can do. But of course, when he sees those two guys this year, he beats both of them because he wants to. Here's the thing. Having this debate matters a lot more to fans because I think you feel older. You're like, man, Sid's not the young guy anymore at the top of the league. You want to believe that you can hold on to that, that he can hold on to that, that you all can be in that bubble. The player himself, I think, is much more realistic about it than anybody else.
Coming up next, Evgeny Malkin rips Philly. He's back from his suspension. He was at his locker stall today. Then he was crushing everything Philadelphia, from their cheesesteaks to gritty. Yeah, in his own unique way. You want to hear those comments? You'll only get them here. Stay tuned. It's the PM team. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. I'm reminding you to text responsibly on this Valentine's Day. It's the PM team.
If we see time, like it's like 4 minutes left, like we lead 3-0, you know, and like we know Philly, they start like do like a little bit around like when they lost, you know, and yeah, of course, like this game, of course, it's like I understand it's like tough game, but it's still like it's, I think he's played dirty, and referee not give him nothing, you know, it's like I'm not understand that.
Okay, I'm going to continue to beat this horse, and that is the AB jersey donation event we've got tomorrow on The Fan. You swing by our studios in Greentree, Foster Plaza 5, during the morning show from 6 to 10. The shirt will go to St. Vincent de Paul. They'll put it in a good place, someone who needs a shirt, something to wear around.
Productive use of your anger towards Antonio Brown.
$10 Yinzers in the Berg certificate for those who participate, and a chance to receive a signed Juju Smith-Schuster jersey, thanks to Total Sports Enterprises. So that was Evgeny Malkin. I might have exaggerated. He didn't really rip gritty.
How could you rip gritty?
Or Philly cheesesteaks.
How could he rip gritty? Hell, I've even eaten a cheesesteak. They're good. And you know how I feel about cheese that melts.
You hate him.
I believe it was John's Roast Pork in South Philly.
But he did not sound like, hey, I'm Evgeny Malkin, I learned my lesson. He sounded like a guy who felt like he was wrongfully disciplined, punished. You know that they're going to start bleep at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. That's what Philly does. He's right on the money about that. It was a dirty play on Raffel's part, and the ref didn't help me out.
I think he's right about that, though, part of it.
But there's no... at least in that clip...
Contrition.
Yeah, at least in that clip we didn't hear... You know, it's 3-0. I can't be doing this kind of stuff. Didn't hear that.
I don't know. I wonder why, too. Like, I wonder if it's because they won, he doesn't feel a need for, or because I think right after the game, he sort of gave an answer that suggested he knew that that was something he should not have done. I wonder if maybe he just felt like, I've delivered that message already. It should be self-evident that I know that part of it was dumb, and I'm going to use this opportunity to blast the refs, which, frankly, he's right to do.
I'm going to ask you this question.
Hold on, though. Okay. I got to pull this thread. Would you want a guy like that to be super, super, super contrite about it? Because I wouldn't. He is good when he is channeling his anger correctly. Now, he didn't in that instance, but I want pissed off Evgeny Malkin down the stretch here, because I believe when that is applied to the best possible aim and ends,
okay,
it's the best version of him.
I agree with that, because when he got snubbed by the NHL's all-time 100 list, I thought it made him a better player.
I don't want him to go, I shouldn't have done this.
If he feels like he's being, if he thinks that there's some discrimination here, or he thinks he's being wrongfully targeted by the NHL, and that gets him going, I'm good with that because he needs to kick it into a higher gear. The guy has three even strength goals since November 1st. I can't believe I just said that. He has three even strength goals.
That doesn't feel like Halloween. It should be possible. That doesn't feel like it should be possible.
Since Halloween. It's Valentine's Day.
That shouldn't be possible. That might be the most. Has that been written a lot? Have people actually put that to paper or put that to digital print often?
I text Mackey, but he's still pissed that I beat him in the fantasy draft last night.
You should text him and then say, by the way, here's my Venmo. That is, I'll be honest, man. I didn't have that off the top of my head. I didn't know that. I just would have assumed he had more goals. I knew he had a fast start this season. Three even strength goals in over one goal a month. He's averaging less than a goal a month at even strength since then. That just doesn't compute at all. You would think by accident he would get a couple. He'd be in the right place at the right time.
I'll give him to you right now.
Puck luck would just become a factor.
In a 6-3 win against Colorado on December 4th, he scored an even strength goal.
Okay.
That's one. January 2nd against the Rangers, he scored an even strength goal in a 7-2 win. And then January 11th at Anaheim in a 7-4 win over the Ducks, he scored an even strength goal.
Jeez.
So he's scoring these goals in blowouts too, man, where like the whole team is going off.
Where everyone's getting into
two 7-goal games and a 6-goal game.
That's also a bad sign. What didn't A-Rod always get criticized for hitting like
these are Kevin Young home runs.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow.
Right?
What a reference. I didn't think you'd go down that path.
I just did.
That is an incredible path.
Finish this sentence.
Okay.
Evgeny Malkin is a top blank NHL player right now. If Crosby is in the conversation for best player, what is Evgeny Malkin?
Right now?
Yeah. Oof. He has 56 points.
I guess
right now the league leader is Kucherov with 88.
Reputationally.
He is 30th right now in points.
That was the first number that popped
into
my head.
Jonathan Toews.
That's the first number that popped into my head. He's a top 30 player right now.
How many guys on the Penguins are better than him?
Crosby for sure.
Okay.
You know, Letang's having a better year. Can I argue Kessel because at least he's delivering, theoretically, what he's supposed to deliver?
I wouldn't.
I'd say Letang and Crosby for sure.
I'd say Dumoulin. I know the idea of saying Brian Dumoulin's better than Evgeny Malkin. Are you on drugs? Brian Dumoulin is a plus 29.
I know, but didn't you say yesterday, like, Dumoulin's nice, but no one's going to confuse him with whoever you threw out there, like Bobby Orr or something like that? You said something to make it seem like, yes, he is a very sturdy, steady player on defense, but no one's like he's not lighting the world on fire. No one's getting weak in the knees thinking about the game Brian Dumoulin brings to the arena every night.
I think that's what I like about him. He's steady Eddie.
Evgeny Malkin, if he and Crosby and Kessel are clicking, and he's the one you need to worry about most right now, they can beat anybody in a 7-game series, and maybe even do so in less than 7 games. If he is not playing well heading into the playoffs, I would bet on them almost regardless of opponent to lose in the first round. If they are essentially a one-man show. Unless that team is Columbus, in which case just history would dictate that I can't pick Columbus to beat them, I would pick them to
I'm
lose almost
sure
any other
Columbus
series.
I'm not even sure Columbus are going to have Panarin and Bobrovsky after the trade deadline.
Not having Bobrovsky in the playoffs might be a good thing for them, given the way he melts down against the Penguins. You want to talk about a guy who is two different players.
Mm-hmm.
That is it right there. You tell him it's the playoffs, it could be game 42 of the regular season, and he'll give up 8 goals.
Yeah. The only reason why I'm hesitating is because last year I said the same things about Holtby and the Capitals, and then they won the Stanley Cup.
But it always has felt like battles against them, maybe battles you were deep down very confident the Penguins would win. By the same token, it has always felt when they see the Blue Jackets like it's a question of how many, not if.
All right. Chris, you ready to get people involved next segment to really call upon the wealth of knowledge we have in our broad listening audience?
Not particularly. Yeah, of course I am, okay. Andrew. Why would I? Come on.
Here's what I want to do next. I'm going to throw a question out there, and I want you to do your best to give some advice. And here is the question. How do you get out of the friend zone? How do you go from friend to lover?
Very appropriate question.
We're all familiar with the friend zone. We've all been in it at times. Are there any success stories out there? Is anybody out there listening as they hear this saying to themselves,
what if there's somebody tonight?
I was in the friend zone and I got myself out of it. Now I'm married. We're loving life. I've got three kids.
Do you find it a two-stall garage? Do you find it to be a total lie that people who are like, yeah, we were friends first? That is very rare.
Okay, let's.
You might have been friends for like 20 minutes at the bar.
How do you.
And then you became more than friends.
I'm going to say it again. How do you get out of the friend zone? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. If there was ever a day to give that kind of advice to people who might really care about the show, might be producing the show,
might be trying to get out of the friend zone right now, tonight. They might have a grandiose plan.
How do you do it?
Help them.
Can you get out of the friend zone? 412-928-9370. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shortgate Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. With locations in North Huntington and the North Hills.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.